and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. I'm Taylor Payne, and it's that time yet again. Can Newcastle United win away from home for the first time this season? They're up against Brentford, who currently sit one place above the Magpies in the table. Last season, this fixture was a low point with furious Eddie Howe resetting the team before a run that took Newcastle to Cup glory and Champions League qualification. Let's pick up with Chris Woff at the G-Tech Community Stadium.
Good morning from West London. Well, actually, from the G-Tech Community Stadium, as I think it's called. I'm here now, the scene of the crime of 11 months ago when Newcastle came and were humbled 4-2. Disastrous second half, but that was the start of the turnaround. It's the after that, Sandro Tonali moved to the number six position permanently, and Newcastle went on the 9-game winning run, and then on to Wembley, and obviously to the Champions League in the end. Yes, so I'm back, not necessarily expecting a positive result, given Newcastle's pretty dire away form. They haven't won on the road since April at Leicester City. And yeah, I didn't even know if I was going to get here this morning. It was the trains are off, and I had fortunately managed to book a flight early when it wasn't very expensive. But we were sat on the tarmac on the flight this morning for 2.5 hours before we actually set off. But no, still got here in plenty of time. I am speaking to you at 11:29 a.m, so it's not like I was late, but there was a lack of communication, so I wasn't entirely sure what was going to happen. But anyway, more importantly, yesterday, by that I mean Saturday, marked 4 years of Eddie Howe at Newcastle United. Not necessarily a landmark anniversary when it comes to it's not a 5 or a 10 year, but given the impact he's had over those 4 years, it's still staggering to think how far the club has come. Both you have this anniversary not long after the takeover one, but you can just echo most of what you say about the takeover has to be echoed for Eddie Howe, and he has been so much the driving force behind Newcastle becoming, well, an established top six club, just about. Certainly serial Champions League qualifiers now, obviously cup winners in the fourth successive quarter final of the Carabao Cup this year, won 3 of their 4 games in the Champions League, look like they're going to make the latter stages of that. So it's been quite the dramatic turnaround in that regard under Eddie Howe. He's had such a huge impact, but what he hasn't been able to arrest over the course of the last few months is this away form. The George was there as was Jacob in East London last week to see them be humbled by West Ham 3-1. Newcastle were appalling just about in every single regard, and then they responded with that very comfortable but still in its own way impressive 2-0 victory over Athletic Bilbao in midweek in the Champions League. It's the away form of the Premier League that is a concern. Brentford are strong here. We know they're going to be direct, set pieces. And it's going to be a real test for Newcastle. Does Eddie Howe make significant changes? Is the side that he played midweek capable of starting this one? You'd have thought Anthony Gordon probably isn't physically ready to, even if he might make the bench. Seems to have been included in the England squad despite the hip injury, which has been troubling him, and Howe said was a doubt on Friday. But beyond that, if you look at other positions, I'm still not convinced about that midfield three on the road at the moment. I don't think it's necessarily shaping up well. Does he go to a back three? We'll find that out in about an hour and a quarter's time, and then we'll really, this will be a test of Newcastle's mettle. Have they got over their away day blues? Because if they don't get a positive result now, then immediately after the international break they've got Man City at home, and suddenly the fixture list in the Premier League starts to look very, very challenging. Yeah, a real test for them. Fascinated to see how it goes. Fascinated to see the starting lineup, and I shall check in with you a little bit later on. It is 10-1, and Newcastle United's team is out, and there's some music playing in the background, which you can probably hear. They're getting into the mood here at the Brentford Community Stadium. But there's only one change from the side who overcame Athletic Bilbao in midweek, and that is Anthony Gordon, who was injured, misses out with a hip injury, not even on the bench, hasn't travelled. Harvey Barnes and Jacob Murphy is the change who comes in. So Jacob Murphy looks like he's starting on the right. Harvey Barnes will shift over to the left. But that also means that it's actually only two of the players who started at West Ham who did not start here this afternoon. And that is Kieran Trippier comes in for Emile Kraft at right back. And the other one being Harvey Barnes, who did not start last weekend. So Howe's answer to Newcastle's midfield, continued midfield issues, is to try and get a performance out of the players over there. He's sticking with them, including the same midfield three, which I am slightly surprised by. Not in the sense that I thought he would try and keep the likes of Joe Linton and Harvey, but, and he wants Joe Linton on the side, he wants Dan Byrne on the side, he wants height and physicality against a team who will, you know, use set pieces to try and get at them. But for there would only be two changes week on week, and given their away form being so poor, it is slightly surprising in that regard. Howe has gone for what is the tried and tested, but the tests seem to have been failed over the course of the last 6 months. And he's hoping that it's going to correct it here, but if it doesn't, then I think questions may be asked as to why there weren't greater changes to the actual starting 11.
It's a Damsgaard delivery, it's awkward for Pope, who reacted well. Collins with the follow-up, that was blocked. Hickey will keep it going, and Newcastle through Burn eventually get it away. Barnes, beyond Yarmouluk, Guimaraes, here's Murphy now for Newcastle. Our body's committed to this attack, Voltimata one of them. Here's Barnes, just wouldn't sit for him on his left. Might do here! It's brilliant from Harvey Barnes! Troublemaker, and it's borne fruit! There's one Newcastle couldn't deal with. Chiara with the final touch. It's that trusty long throw again. I'm not sure where Ratara is, and another coming together inside the box between those two. This time it is a penalty. Now, he's already been put down, Burn. Thiago takes, sends Ramsdale the wrong way, and Brentford have come from behind to lead with 12 minutes left to play. Thought he was away. Thiago's in! And Thiago wins it for Brentford.
Good evening, Christopher. I can only imagine that, albeit this might not be a particularly happy experience for you, there must be a little bit of deja vu. 12 months on.
It's 11 months.
It isn't 12 months on. It was just the following season. 11 months on. Are you as broken now as you were then?
I don't think I'm quite as broken as I was then, but I was speaking when I got back to Newcastle after a long train journey. I am going to go and try and get my flight back in a little bit, having been delayed this morning, and then Ollie's probably going to give me a bollocking because I've lost the sort of wind protector for this microphone, so it's probably going to be, the sound quality is probably going to be crap. And yeah, and then I've just seen Newcastle United capitulate in the second half again. So there are a lot of parallels to last season, as you mentioned. And yeah, I mean, I really feel for those Newcastle fans who've travelled down these last couple of weeks to London, against all of the trains being off and just generally the expense, the time put into it, and to see the team take the lead on both occasions and then on both occasions, yeah, just capitulate really, and that's very, very frustrating. It's becoming something that you actually expect to happen, which is the main frustration. Someone's just shouting, asking if I'm Paul, but I'm not Paul. So if he did hear that, if Paul's getting a lift to the airport, then I might jump in with him. But no, anyway, sorry. It's been quite the day.
You're not a Paul, but that was an appalling
performance. I see what you've done there.
Thank you so much. Right, so I've got a couple of provocative questions, but I think they're justified in the circumstances. Do you remember, Chris, back in the day, whatever happened to that period of reflection that Newcastle United was supposed to be having all of 7 days ago?
Well, it's a good point. I suppose the issue there is, again, as you raised the other day, is that Newcastle don't have any time on the training ground. So whatever period of reflection they may have had, Eddie Howe can't spend the time that he wants to with the players on the training field, and so they can talk about things, they can even do it at sort of walking or jogging pace on the training pitch, but it still doesn't have the same effect necessarily. And I also think it's just fundamentally, there's just so many games and so many things for them to focus on that maybe whatever that period of reflection was meant to be, they haven't had time for it.
No, I mean, after Eddie Howe calls for a period of reflection, Newcastle to then go away again, to London again, to lose 3-1 again after taking the lead again is not a great look. And I don't want to pat myself on the back on a day when really nobody can be patted on the back. But, you know, saying after our match day pod, in midweek that you could sort of smell or see Brentford coming a mile off. I don't like to be proved right about that, but I mean, I have been. And the thing for me is that there's a proper softness to the team now, and there's no avoiding it. You know, it's no away wins since April, and no team now has allowed more points to slip from winning positions in the Premier League this season. It's 9 points for Newcastle. And yeah, I mean, it's unsustainable. And this is something that you've written about.
I have written about it, yeah, because it's also three of the last five times Newcastle have taken the lead in the Premier League that they've let the lead slip and ended up losing, whereas the previous three times they did that cumulatively took 56 Premier League matches. So it has become a problem which is really affecting them. You can forgive it sort of to a degree, as frustrating as it was at home to Arsenal, who were obviously the runaway league leaders, but then to do it at West Ham, who were considered the meekest of opponents on their own patch when they went there last weekend. And then this is slightly different in that Brentford are decent at home. Newcastle knew what to expect coming here, but then exactly what they should have known to expect was part of the reason why they ended up giving away that lead and then falling away, and Newcastle are getting worse for it. And I did ask Eddie Howe, did he have any answer to really why Newcastle just keep surrendering leads in the Premier League at the moment?
I think it's probably associated with our lack of goals, really. I think there's going 1-0 up today, you'd expect us to capitalise on that and establish ourselves as a stronger team in the game. I don't think we did. I think we became weaker in the game for the goal, which was the same at West Ham. So that's a big frustration for me. I want my teams to attack and to be continually looking to score. We don't look like that team currently. That's why I said earlier, we have issues to fix. There's no doubt about that. And the process for that starts now.
I found it fascinatingly honest there, in that he has gone into the fact that Newcastle aren't scoring enough, but not only are they not scoring enough and don't look like scoring enough, he actually thinks they've got worse once they've gone ahead. That's probably true. The first half year slightly different, and after Newcastle took the lead, I thought they probably had the best period of the game without really threatening much.
Yeah.
I thought they had not control, because they never had control of the game, but they looked more comfortable in it until half time, and then second half they were really poor. But at West Ham, once they took the lead, they sort of, I mean, that was in the fourth minute, so then they had the remainder of the entire game to be poor. But I know exactly what he's getting at, is because Newcastle don't look like they're going to be threatening again, they almost drop a bit deeper. The defensive solidity was there at the start of the season, they're not getting the protection there anymore, and also because they're not scoring, they haven't got enough of a lead to protect, and they have that soft underbelly, as you mentioned. So it is a fundamental problem. I mean, Voldemada got the assist for Harvey Barnes' goal, which you'll talk about in a bit, but he only had he didn't have a single shot. In three of the four away games he's played in the Premier League, he has not had a single shot. He had four at Brighton, and he's not had a single shot in any of the away games, and I think there is a fundamental issue there in terms of getting him into the box, as we've said before, but also playing in and around him. And there was a couple of occasions in the second half when Newcastle pulled the ball back and there was nobody to get on the end of them. And that's not only Voldemada, but he's not that sort of natural in-the-box striker, and he also can't necessarily keep up with the wingers to get into that position. And so that is a real issue for Newcastle, and it's going to be fascinating to see what happens after the international break, if and when Johan Wiss is available, because they need to change things up a little bit. Howe talked about wanting to protect Voldemada a little bit more, and I think by that he not only meant the minutes, but also the fact that really in away games it just is not working with him. He scored a wonder goal to Brighton, and apart from that, it's just not worked at all.
No, I mean, he has scored goals this season, and I'm pleased he has, because we've got a glimpse of the kind of player he is, the touch he's got, the quality he's got, and so there isn't that sort of horrible pressure on him for not contributing in terms of kind of goals. He's obviously got a great personality. He's clearly incredibly talented, but you know, more and more it's sort of obvious that the way Newcastle play has been fundamentally altered by having him up front. I mean, again, he's just not a focal point. As you said, you know, Newcastle not giving themselves a chance to win games. That the goal from Harvey Barnes is their only shot on target in this match. And so it's, you know, again, they're not giving themselves a chance to have a chance of winning, because, you know, they're not threatening. They're not a threatening team. So on the one hand, I mean, it's I don't want to sort of rewrite history, and it's almost futile talking about this, but the big idea this season is that Wissa starts, Voltomada is on the bench, he's acclimatised, Newcastle play therefore in a recognisable way, they're all familiar with having a forward who wants to be in the box and score goals, and I do think things would be different if they'd had Wissa fit, but they haven't, and so they have to make adjustments because of that, and it's just proving so, so difficult. It is completely altering the way they play. I do though want to talk a bit about that Harvey Barnes goal because
it was a solitary moment of brilliance.
Well, yes, it was difficult to think of any redeeming features after West Ham. I do think the goal was very good though, so I'll talk about that a little bit. Barnes was involved in midfield, he got a touch, and you know, Newcastle hadn't really done anything up to that point, but they showed what they're capable of. A quick passing movement, counter-attacking, really good. Bruno gets the ball, sprays it wide to Murphy. Murphy does what Murphy does, a great cross into the box. And Voltomada at that point, it was a gorgeous touch. The ball somehow sort of spins behind him a bit, finds Barnes. He's surrounded by players. He controls the ball. There's an absolutely exquisite touch that takes the ball onto his left-hand side and it bamboozles Brentford's defenders, and he has space to shoot at the near post. It's a great goal. It felt important at that time, not only in the context of the game, in which, yeah, Newcastle really hadn't contributed very much from an attacking sense, but they had this springboard, or so you hoped, and it also meant that Barnes finally joined Jacob Murphy as a Newcastle winger who had contributed something meaningful in the Premier League. Up to that point, Murphy's the only winger to have had a goal involvement, 2 goals, 1 assist, and you know, Barnes pops up with that, and it was a great finish. And you think, okay, well, at that point, Newcastle hopefully can gain some confidence and kick on, but it didn't happen.
And on that, well, just on that, you mentioned about the goal involvements. Harvey Barnes is also now only the 5th Newcastle player to have scored in the Premier League this season, which is Newcastle have the fewest goal scorers in the league,
yeah,
for a team. Whereas we had it a couple of seasons ago where they had 20. They sort of matched the record that Manchester United set. Now they're just over-reliant on certain players. And away from home, they've only had 3 goal scorers, each of whom only have 1 in Voldemort, Murphy and Barnes. And so again, that comes back, that issue that you mentioned, that we've said about them being toothless and not having that up front. They've got a soft underbelly at the back now, and then they're toothless up front.
Yeah, and again, we've said this before, they have been over-reliant, but they've had a player who, maybe I will name just so that Ollie has to bleep it out again, Alex, who is going to get you 20-plus goals in the Premier League. He did that for 2 consecutive seasons for Newcastle, but with, you know, in the absence of that, the other players have to step up. It's easier said than done, but people have got to shoot. They've got good players on the pitch. You know, they do have Barnes, Gordon when he's fit, Alanga if he plays, Murphy. But others, you know, others, the midfield players, they've got to provide a threat. It's up to them. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what happened. Why was that not a springboard for Newcastle today?
Well, I think part of the problem was that they, in the first half, where they stood up to a certain degree with Brentford's physicality, in the second half they didn't. As much as I thought it was, in one sense, I actually turned to Anand, who was there with us for The Athletic when Joe Linton went off, and I sort of said half jokingly, this may actually be a blessing when he went off injured. Now, I hope he isn't seriously injured, and I hope he's back soon, but I just think that maybe starting that midfield three, as I mentioned earlier in the pod, before we've recorded this bit here, I was surprised just because it has struggled away from home in successive away games. They keep struggling. And then there's some people now coming across to they're looking. Oh, they're not looking at me. They're looking at pictures on the wall. That's good. Anyway, sorry.
Is that Paul? Is that Paul?
It may well be Paul.
Paul?
May well be
Paul. You're right, Paul.
He's looking to
you're
see okay, whether Paul. There's a fade in someone's haircut, I think, on the wall, the red and white centenary wall on the side of the GTEC Stadium. Anyway, so yeah, but the sort of physical nature of it, Howe spoke about how in the first half he thought they'd defended set pieces pretty well. I think that that's been slightly generous. They got away with it a little bit. Pope had come and flapped at a couple of long throws already, and then the long throw which they knew was coming. Brentford had already scored eight of them since the start of last season. And in the second half, whether it was it seemed a bit of a mix-up between Botman and Pope. Both of them went for it. Botman gets there ahead of Pope. Whether Botman went for it because he'd seen that Pope had struggled in the first half already, although it seemed the plan was for Nick Pope to come and try and punch them. He seemed to be going out of his way to do that, and then to whether Botman just intervened, whether there's a miscommunication, I don't know. But anyway, it allowed then Kevin Sharder to equalise, and then as soon as they equalised, it was only really going one way. And I thought that Newcastle, physically looked like they were struggling. The midfield isn't working. Ramsey came on, I thought, did all right to begin with, but fundamentally, even Tonali in the first half today kept on giving the ball away in dangerous positions. He hasn't been the same imperious player we've seen at St James's Park on the road recently, and that's not just digging him out. You could say that about so many players, but he is usually Mr. Reliable, certainly at St James's. So I think that physically, they got bullied a little bit, and just on the ball, this repeated issue, the one issue I think that Eddie Howe has never been able to address during his time as Newcastle head coach, is that on the ball, under pressure, away from home, they're not good enough and have not been good enough at ball retention. And that was evident today, and it becomes compounded when they're in a situation like today.
On the equaliser, I have to say that Thiago was standing right in front of Pope, and so that made it difficult, and Botman was standing right in front of Thiago. But it's that old Roy Keane thing: if you're going to come, you've got to come with violence, and he didn't do that. And while we're on the subject, let's talk about injuries. Pope has then come off with a concussion, I believe, and also there was the Jolinton injury earlier. So appraise us of those details, please.
Yeah, so Joe Linton Howe didn't have much information about, just said he thought it was a knock, thought and hoped he'd be all right. Anthony Gordon said the same, won't play for England, but should be hopefully back just after the international break. Pope is not going to with England international duty. Now, he was assessed after Malik Chow had headed the ball sort of back up in the air, and Pope had come to collect the ball, and there'd been a bit of a collision, and he landed awkwardly. He looked immediately when I saw it. Actually, it wasn't his. From the perspective I had, I thought he'd broken his finger or something because he seemed to gesture his hand straight up. But he had checks immediately on the pitch and was deemed to be okay to continue. But then when Newcastle conceded the penalty, which we're going to come on to, he gets substituted before the penalty's taken, and Ramsdale comes on for his Premier League debut for Newcastle and it turns out it was with concussion, which it must have been a delayed onset concussion. Now we're getting a wider discussion about how miles behind.
Yeah.
Football is on this, but it just added to the sense that, I'm not saying that anyone did anything wrong, all the protocols were followed, but it just added to the sense that on a day where things just didn't go right for Newcastle, and the more they try to change it, the worse they became. It's a similar sort of thing. It wasn't a great look that your goalkeeper's forced off having stayed on the pitch a little bit longer with concussion. So he's 10 to 12 days he'll serve, so he may even be available for after the national break, but it depends on whether he passes that sort of period. But yeah, obviously another player in Newcastle are going to be without for the Man City game is Dan Byrne, who was dismissed for two yellow cards.
Yeah, so it was Brentford who were really pushing at this point, and any impetus that Newcastle might have had was gone, and Brentford get a penalty. Dan Byrne tackles Dango Ouattara inside the box. He's then sent off. It's a second yellow card. And the question that everybody is asking, including some of our subscribers to Extra Time on our Discord channel, why, Paul or Chris, if you insist on being called that, wasn't Dan Byrne taken off, both to protect him and also to protect the team?
Yeah, so Howe was asked about this after, and he spoke about, with the benefit of hindsight, would he have done things differently possibly. He talked about Joe Linton's injury, having gone off, and part of the reason why I know he selected Joe Linton in the first place and Byrne and players like that is to do with height and Brentford's aerial threat. And so I don't think he wanted to withdraw Byrne for as long as he possibly could, but he'd been booked in the, I think it was the 49th minute for a foul on Ouattara. There was also, he got away with one really, which was a penalty, arguably more of a penalty than the penalty that was actually given.
Yeah.
It was both of them were sort of those ones where if they're given on the field, they wouldn't be overturned, and vice versa, they wouldn't be given if they haven't been given on the field. And so he got away with that one, and yet still he remained on the pitch for another sort of 12 minutes, and then got his marching orders and was sent off. So I think that was a questionable decision, and it didn't look great. And it's, again, the second weekend in a row away from home where you can question some of the decision-making which has come from the touchline. It's just not what's been on the pitch. It's what's happened on the touchline hasn't necessarily aided, and in some cases you can argue has even made them worse or more ragged. So, yes, Howe talked about hindsight, but he didn't try to hide from the fact that would it have been better to have taken him off? He was sort of non-committal on that. On the changes that did come on, I mean, I thought that the one positive really was that Lewis Hall again offered something in attack, and you can see Newcastle are crying out for fullbacks who can get forward and can offer something, and he did flash a couple of balls across the box and just generally looked more composed on the ball and willing to both dribble with it, and he had that technical quality to get it in. So I think that him and Tino Livramento hopefully being back after the international break, Livramento might take a couple of games to sort of get up to speed, but having them back could really transform Newcastle because they're crying out for that creativity down the flanks, and I think those two have been even bigger misses than we necessarily considered them to be when they first got injured.
Yeah, and then Thiago, of course, gets another one. Thau doesn't.
Ciao.
Yeah, well, I'm going to call him Thau. You're Paul. He's Thau. Doesn't deal with the through ball. Thiago is in and scores again, and so it becomes a really ugly scoreline again, and it means that Newcastle are now in 14th place in the Premier League. That makes for really bad reading. It's not what we want. It's not what they expect of themselves or each other.
They're closer to 19th than they are to 5th.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a travesty. I know that Howe said afterwards that, you know, in some respects, they would like another game to get it out of their system, but I think that's wrong. I mean, I don't think at this point that helps them at all. They've had a load of games. What they do need to do is take a step back, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, albeit, you know, there'll be a lot of players away, but they need to find some kind of formula. They need to draw a line under this, and they do need to find a way of resetting. It's depressing talking about that. I think, you know, for lots of reasons that I've said kind of repeatedly on the pod, you know, there's a good mood at the top of the club. There's a good mood in the dressing room in terms of everybody kind of wants to be there, but this form is not sustainable. And that, you know, those good feelings certainly won't be there now and certainly won't last the more they play like this.
No, I mean, on that, I asked how, and I know as quite often happens after a defeat, there's a lot of response on social media and it's about, oh, you need to ask the hard questions and the like. And I mean, whether we ask the hard questions are for other people to judge, but you also have to understand the sort of situation you're in. But I did, how was asked some pretty probing questions, and one of the ones I put to him was on, I said this time last year when we were here 11 months ago, after that game, you did have a fundamental reset in the sense that you moved Sandro Tonali back to number 6 and that became the sort of reshaped Newcastle side. I said, does this need a fundamental reset now? In my opinion, it does, but I asked him the question. I said, does it need a fundamental reset, a reset going forward, and will one come? And he's basically, his response, as you'll hear in a second, is that he's not adverse to at least considering it, so it'll be interesting to see. He talked about analysis over the next fortnight, and then we may see a slightly different Newcastle on the road going forward.
Well, if there is a reshuffle, it needs to be done in the right way. It needs to be done with analysis and then detailed thought as to how the team's going to go forward. And I'm not adverse to that. I mean, look, never going to do the same thing continually, and we haven't done, and expect a different result. I don't think that's right, so there is changes, we'll look at it, and we'll try and figure out what those changes need to be.
Yeah, we should also talk a little bit about Newcastle United Women, who drew 1-1 against Durham today. An unchanged side after the team had beaten Ipswich so impressively. Not surprising it was unchanged. Familiar story in this sense that Newcastle took the lead, were then pegged back, had a lot of chances to get a winner but didn't take them. That feels like a pretty costly result. They are losing ground on the teams above them. So all in all, albeit not a terrible performance, not a bad performance by any stretch of the imagination, a disappointing result in the context of the game itself. Oh, I thought misery was beyond us, Chris. I thought we'd gone past it.
No, it's always going to be part of our soul. It doesn't leave you, I think, fully. It's almost like Yeah, it just comes back and bites you every now and again. I mean, I fully expect the way that my day's going that I'm going to get, having the knock-on effect of the flight down this morning, that when I get back to the airport later, that they're going to say the flight's fine and then it's going to get cancelled the very last minute. And but we shall see. Other people have had far more difficult journeys here and back than me, so I should not complain. And as I said, I just want to reiterate, I mean, it was how when the players went across, and I mean, the way it had emptied to a certain degree, but there was still applause for them. It wasn't like it turned, certainly not to the extent that that some of the home fans were singing about their former striker in Johan Visser, and describing him a word that I'm not familiar with, but sort of rhymes with runt, I think, but I don't know what it means necessarily. And obviously he wasn't even fit and available to potentially be return and be a thorn in their side, so the sooner that Newcastle can get him on the pitch, the better. The sooner they can get Tino Livramento and Lewis Hall on the pitch regularly, the better. And let's just hope that this international break, despite a lot of the players going away on a national duty, there will be time on the training ground for Eddie Howe and his coaching staff, and it just feels much required.
Indeed. Well, the only thing that brings me any pleasure at all is the fact that you've had to witness pretty much the same as what I witnessed last weekend. No offence to you, Chris. And of course, the other thing to point out is that we all make mistakes, don't we, Paul? So get yourself home and we'll pick up the pieces of this in the week. Thank you so much to everybody who's listened, if you can bear to listen to this, and we'll be back with you very soon.
Well, there you go, another Pod on the Tyne match day. Thanks to George and Chris for their time, and thank you to all of you who continue to listen to our free shows every week, and those of you who've supported us by subscribing to our ad-free and extra time feeds via Support and Cast. For more info, please visit podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm and sign up to hear our regular episodes without adverts, or to take advantage of our additional content offering via Extra Time. Drop us an email, podonthetyne@gmail.com, or give us a follow on Twitter X or Blue Sky @podonthetyne. Thanks a lot for listening. Take care. Goodbye.